Welcome to Daily in the Word. Hi, this is Kerry Schmidt, Director of Striving Together Publications. If you're interested in biblically sound and practically relevant resources for spiritual growth, I invite you to visit strivingtogether.com. At Striving Together, we're laboring every day to produce books, curriculum, music, and local church resources that will encourage and equip believers to live their faith. From all over the globe, we're hearing stories every day of how God is changing lives through these resources. Striving Together is committed to conservative biblical doctrine and values, and we're committed to supporting local church ministry. Visit us today at strivingtogether.com or call toll-free 1-800-201-7748. Again, that's 1-800-201-7748. There's a lot changing in our world, and today with Dr. Paul Chappell on Daily in the Word, we're going to take current events and hold them up against the lens of Bible prophecy and understand the times better. Stay with us. The Bible says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of love and of power and of a sound mind. It's easy to watch the evening news, even as a Christian, and begin to fear and wonder and question. But when we take current events and hold them up against the lens of Bible prophecy, we're reminded once again of God's power, God's sovereignty, and we're reminded that we can live with confidence and trust in God. Welcome to Daily in the Word. I'm Kerry Schmidt, your host, and this program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California, and president and founder of West Coast Baptist College. We are airing a new series entitled Times Are Changing. We did listen to this series earlier this year, but we're re-airing it because it was very well received and because Pastor Chappell has a new book that's a companion to this series. The series is entitled Times Are Changing. We're going to carefully study Bible prophecy, and especially in light of current events and the things that are changing in our world. And the companion book that comes along with this series is entitled Understanding the Times. I'll tell you more about it after today's program. But first, join us in your Bible, Titus chapter 2, verses 13 through 14. Today's message is entitled, A Sudden Disappearance. Is Jesus Christ really coming back, and do present-day events point to this fulfillment of Bible prophecy? We'll find out right now. Here's Paul Chappell.
And so, the rapture is an imminent hope. It is a wonderful hope to all who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. May I say, secondly, it is an inspirational hope. It is an inspirational hope. Now you just stop and think about it for a moment. Think about all the songs that you have sung and heard related to the hopeful event that I'm preaching about this morning. One of my favorite songs, When We See Christ. When we see Christ. Oh, listen, what a great day that will be. I think about the song I sang as a young boy in church. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more. What's that song? When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. We shall behold him, the midnight cry, coming again. Jesus is coming again. How many of you believe this truth that I'm preaching about has inspired hundreds of songwriters to write wonderful songs that have encouraged our hearts concerning the fact that the rapture will take place? Now, why is it so inspirational to us this morning? Let's look at a few scriptural reasons. First, it's inspirational because not every believer will face death. Not every believer will face death. And I don't think it's carnal or wrong to desire to be a part of that group of people that are raptured before death. In fact, how many of you would say, that'd be just fine with me? All right, you're awake this morning. 1 Corinthians 15:51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In other words, not everyone's going to die before the rapture. But whether it's the dead in Christ rising or we which are alive and remain, everyone will be changed. That is to say, we will all receive a glorified body like the resurrected body of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is an inspirational thought that we will be changed and that we will be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, of course, it's inspirational simply because we will see Christ. We will see Him. 1 John 3:2, notice it says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and yet it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." One songwriter wrote the song this way. He said, "Jesus will be what makes it heaven for me." Amen. Someone says, "Well, I hope I get a mansion next to a fishing hole." Oh, lottie dottie. Golfers always say, "I hope there's a nice golf course up there." No, you don't. That would ruin heaven. The first time you didn't get a good shot, listen, you know the great thing about heaven is not happy hunting grounds, and it's not fishing holes, and it's not golf courses. The great thing about heaven is Jesus. And seeing the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the brightness of heaven. And then it's an inspirational hope, thirdly, because we will receive a glorified body. We saw this a moment ago. The trumpet will sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Verse 53 is in your notes. For this corruptible, all right? Everybody touch your arm like this, all right? This corruptible, not trying to discourage you, this corruptible, all right? Anybody have a cavity? That corruptible. Anybody have a bad hip? That corruptible. Are you with me? Yeah. All right, just making sure. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, "Death is swallowed up in victory." I heard about a couple that was celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary, and they decided they would go back to the hotel where they had their honeymoon 50 years before, and they had a wonderful meal, and it was a romantic time. And after retiring to bed, the wife said to her husband, she said, "Darling, do you remember how you used to stroke my hair?" And the husband put his hand, and he sort of stroked his wife's hair a little bit. And she said, "Do you remember the way that we used to cuddle?" And so he kind of put his arms around her and cuddled with her a little bit. And she said, "Do you remember the way that sometimes you'd nibble my ear?" And when she said that, he got up out of bed and he left the room. She said, "Where are you going?" He said, "To get my teeth." Now, the fact of the matter is, all of us are living in a corruptible body today. How many of you, it's like Rice Krispies when you get out of bed? Snap, crackle, pop, right? And yet, one of the reasons we get excited about this hope is not only that we may not see death, and certainly that we'll see Jesus, but just the very thought, that's when we will receive a glorified body. What a great day that will be. And so the hope of the rapture is wonderful for the Christian. And never let someone make fun of it. And never let someone put down the fact that, yes, you believe that God is big enough to come down out of heaven and hover over this earth and call His children home. Never let anyone pour water on the blessed hope of the heart of the Christian. And that is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the promise of the rapture, the hope of the rapture. But I must share with you very briefly, and yet so very importantly, the preparation for the rapture. Now, I don't know about you, but whenever we take a trip, we have to get ready for that trip. There's things you've got to do. There's reservations you have to make. And this rapture, it's going to be a quick trip. I mean, it's just in the moment, a twinkling of an eye, boom. But it's something we do need to be ready for. Many will be left behind. This will be a vastly populated planet during the tribulation. It's not something to take for granted. In fact, when the Antichrist is revealed, those who will receive him with such adulation will be under what the Bible calls a strong delusion, and especially those who rejected Jesus Christ. During their life on this earth, they rejected the soul winners that came by. They rejected the televangelism. I mean, whether it was cursing Billy Graham on the television or talking about the hypocritical preachers or whatever in the world they were saying and doing, those who rejected Christ are going to come under the strongest delusion and will be some of the greatest advocates of the Antichrist and his platform. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 11 says that for this cause, because they rejected the truth, God will send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie. And the lie will be that the Antichrist is their hope. And there will be many under that delusion. And my friend, you don't want to be here after the rapture on this planet. And there's no reason to have a hard heart except for your pride. And you certainly don't want to live under the delusion that there's a human being on this earth, satanically inspired, I might add, who could somehow bring permanent hope and permanent peace to the world. But many will believe exactly that. How then can we prepare for this rapture? And how can we have the knowledge that we'll be with the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, first and foremost, we must do so through salvation. That is, by receiving Jesus Christ as the only covering for our sins in order that we individually might be saved. Now notice there again, 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 14, the Bible says, for, what's the next word say? Say it with me, please. For. All right. So here is the presupposition that we must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again. So some will reject. Some will say, Jesus is fine. Mohammed is fine. Hinduism's fine. It's all fine. And they will reject in their pseudo-educational way or intellectual way. But the fact of the matter is, whatever way you reject Christ, there are two categories of people in this world. There are the saints of God, or the people who have received Christ as Savior, and there are those who have rejected Jesus Christ as Savior. So the Bible says, if you believe, and there is no hope for the rejecter. Those who have the blessed hope have put their faith in Jesus Christ. Now again, you say, well, I don't know, this is just a bunch of Baptist dogma, all this stuff. All right, let me just invite you to the words of Jesus Christ then once again. In John chapter 11 and verse 25, Jesus said it this way, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Now, belief in Christ is a complete confidence in Christ. It is trusting him 100% to save you from your sin, to take you to heaven for all of eternity, as he promised in John chapter 11. It is not trusting in your church, any church, the baptistry, your good works, the money you give, your good looks. Thank God you're not trusting in that this morning. Nothing about us gets us to heaven. It's all about what Jesus Christ has done on the cross of Calvary. And Jesus said, do you believe this? You see, the Bible is clear in Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. That's what we deserve as a fallen people in sin. Going way back since the time of Adam. The wages of sin is death. But, I like that word, but the gift of God is eternal life. How? How, God? How do I get that gift? The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Isn't that wonderful? That's why we sing a song, His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. And so when someone receives Christ as their Savior, they are now ready for the rapture because His Spirit has indwelt them. They have been born again through their faith in Jesus Christ. 29 years ago, I took my wife in the city of San Jose, California, where she was raised. We made a special provision, and with a photographer, we traveled to the Japanese Gardens in San Jose, California. And I'll tell you what, I was never so nervous as I was that day. I had a diamond ring in my pocket. I had put it on layaway months before at Montgomery Ward's. Folks, that's a fine jewelry store. I don't know why you're laughing. I mean, that's where you get the best of the best. I'll be honest with you, I knew nothing about diamonds then. I don't know much now, but I guess you're supposed to look at them. I have no idea how many little specks that may have had of carbon or whatever in there. I just knew it looked pretty under the case, and I got an employee discount because I work there. Some days I'd go by the counter and I'd put down $5 for that ring because I was going to give it to the woman I loved. Some days 10, some days more. But I remember the day I paid the last few dollars for that ring, put it in my pocket, drove to San Jose, California, and there in the Japanese gardens, I proposed to my girlfriend, Terry. A few months later, I claimed her as my bride. Now, I want to tell you something today, and I want you to remember this. Terry trusted me. She believed that I'd show up just like I said I would. She believed that I would love her and take her with me and be her husband and provide for her. She trusted me. And on that day, December 27th, 1980, as we gathered there at the Liberty Baptist Church of San Jose, California, we were united in marriage. And I want to tell you something. Even as Terry trusted my word, and so much more, and infinitely more, you can trust the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I will come again, and I'm going to take my bride home. But my friend, even as Terry believed my word, you must believe the word of Jesus Christ when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh to the Father but by me, you see. Salvation prepares us. Secondly, if you are already saved, I want to challenge you with how to get ready for the rapture, and that is through sanctification. Sanctification speaks of not only our position in Jesus, but our progress with Jesus, and it speaks of holiness and a right life with God. Every once in a while, one of our dean of men will walk into these dorms on the other side of the campus. People live in those dorms. And some of the dorms are men's dorms. And those dorms sometimes need to be checked on. Sometimes socks can be leaned up against the wall perpendicular. It's an amazing, some of the sights I've seen in men's dorms is utterly amazing to me. The way food is stored and the way clothing is stored. And it's just a marvel to me that these boys are not proposing to a different girl every day until they strike oil. Because they need help, ladies and gentlemen. And just one walk into a dorm room will explain the whole thing to you. And so periodically the dean of students will walk into the dorm and they will have, and I love it when they do this, they will have what's called a white glove inspection. Now when it's time for white glove inspection, they put those three-day-old Taco Bell burritos away. And they gather those clothes and clean them. And they get that bed so you could pop a quarter off the top of the mattress. I mean, they get ready for the white glove inspection. I'm going to tell you something. If you believe what I'm preaching this morning, you don't want to be in the bar when Jesus comes back. You want to be living for him when he comes back. And how do you do that? First, we must purify our lives through repentance. We must be purified, sanctified, set apart by repenting of that which we know to be sin against God. Look at 1 John 3 and verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Can I get an amen right there? Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he, here's that word again, shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Look at verse 3. And every man that hath this hope in him does what? Purifieth himself, even as he is pure. We need to be purified through repentance. We need to be sanctified through denying ungodliness, verse 12 of Titus 2. Denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. You know how to get ready for the rapture? First, make sure you're saved. Secondly, make sure you're sanctified through turning away from that which displeases Jesus Christ. And may I say, thirdly, you can be ready for the rapture by living a steadfast Christian life. Now notice this in Hebrews 10:24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. My friend, you can study it any which way you want. You can study it in any kind of a decent commentary you want. The assembling speaks about the local New Testament church, and God's plan is that we would be a called out assemblage of believers. And God says, I don't want you to forsake my church, which I shed my blood for in the local context, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, watch this, as the manner of some is, and church attendance is declining in America, and yet if someone really believed that Jesus was coming at any time, we ought to be getting more and more fervent for the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at that, as the manner of some is, notice this, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, say it with me, as ye see. It's just logical. If I'm a freshman in the college and my room is a mess, and I know Dr. Weaver's about ready to come over for company, he's not coming in for tea and cookies. He's coming in to check that room. And my friend, even though we live under grace and we're not going to receive judgment for our sin, that's already been paid for at the cross, the fact of the matter is that we ought to be more and more fervent in our Christian life, knowing that Jesus Christ is coming again, because he will keep his promise. I remind you of the verse, and I close with this from a few weeks ago, 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. Verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. I close with this. When Jesus comes, he is coming for his own. We sometimes say he's coming for the bride of Christ. He's coming for those who have been born again. When Jesus comes, he's coming for those who have his spirit within them. He is coming for those who have trusted him as Savior. When Jesus comes, he will call his own to be with himself. In this picture, we have three different objects made of three different materials, and yet when you place over these objects a magnet, it will draw unto itself that which is of the same material. And I say to you that when Jesus comes, even as that can is drawn to the magnet because of its metal content, and even as others were left aside because they did not have that content, so all who have the Holy Spirit of God within them, all who have been born again, will be caught away. And all who have rejected him will be left behind. This time is coming, and may we prepare even today for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, friend, you've been listening to Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California. On today's edition of Daily in the Word, he's been teaching through a series entitled Times Are Changing. We're studying present-day events, but holding those events up under the lens of Bible prophecy. We're understanding God's sovereignty and God's promises anew and afresh. I'm so excited to tell you that Dr. Chappell has a brand new book that's just come off the press that's based on this series, and it contains so much more information than was able to be contained in the teaching and preaching series. The book is entitled Understanding the Times, Living Courageously in Prophetic Days. If you are a Christian, this book will help you understand what's happening in the world around us and how the Bible sheds light and gives you promise and confidence to live courageously. If you know someone that's not a Christian, this book will help them understand the gospel in the light of present-day events and in the light of prophecy. It's a powerful tool for witnessing to others and sharing Christ. It's a powerful tool for growing in God's grace and developing the courage and strength to press forward no matter what you see in today's news headlines. I want to encourage you to give us a call or write to us and let us send you a copy of Understanding the Times. The easiest way to receive your copy of Understanding the Times is visit us at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. You can also call us toll-free, 1-800-201-7748. Again, that's 1-800-201-7748. Finally, you can write to us at Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 9-3-5-3-5. Your purchase of a copy of Understanding the Times is not only an investment into your own life or to the life of a friend spiritually, it's also an investment into Daily in the Word. Your gift to our ministry helps us continue broadcasting on this station and continue purchasing airtime on hundreds of stations across the country. So be sure to give us a call, toll free, 1-800-201-7748. You can find out more about this broadcast ministry. You can listen to today's broadcast or recent broadcasts, or you can request your copy of Understanding the Times when you visit us at dailyintheword.org. That's dailyintheword.org. Thanks again for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word, and until next time, have a great day.